accession number 27343, wheel 3.
Norman Seals, rail 3. So this period, was it a mixed sort of period between being on board HMS Argus and sort of working up in the UK still?
Yeah, we're still working. We're going from station to station, about a month, 6 weeks at every station, I think we went to. And then we were the first squadron to, one of the first, if not the first, to get rocket projectiles on the thing when we were at Macri Hanish. And so we had they had crosses on the ground there. You fired these things out. They were highly dangerous at first, especially for the people fitting them. And that one or two got blasted when they went off as they were plugging them in. You weren't supposed to get them plugged in until you're actually taking off, just before you took off, you know, because they were a bit, with being new and that, they weren't used to it. And that.
With that type of thing, what's the sensation on the aircraft as you fire the rockets?
Hardly any, really. It's the same as dropping a torpedo. You get a bit of a lift, but nothing spectacular at all, no.
And how do you fire them from the aircraft?
Oh, well, I say we got the first ones, and they had a great big piece of metal on either side, on the wings. They were huge pieces of metal, and then the rocket fitted on those. As they progressed, they just had a rail for the rocket to fit on, not a Mackie. So a swordfish fully loaded, and with that on, were very, very slow and cumbersome, yeah.
And how would you fire them? How would you fire the rockets?
Oh, you just press the button. You could fire them in salvo, or you could fire them singly. And that, yeah.
So once you'd worked up with them, what was the next stage there? Did you stay with that squadron at that point, or is that the point where you went to 768 squadron?
No. I went. We went to Salerno. We were going to Salerno with 886 Seafires, and we joined. There was just, I think, only half a dozen of us there. When we found we were going to Salerno, they had us smoke laying, practicing smoke laying, and that, which is what we're supposed to do at Salerno. But thank goodness they left us off at Gibraltar, and the Seafires went on. But the Seafires, they had this trouble in doings. But they did say that they had to shorten the air screws because of the lack of wind. When you land, the tail comes right up, and the prop was catching the ground and knocking chunks off it. Well, we did all that sort of thing in the Clyde long before the Salerno, and so it was done. And they all took propellers with the pieces sunk, sawn off, you know. So that shouldn't, they didn't find that out at Salerno at all. They found it out when I was there. Yeah.
So they'd actually discovered the problems earlier and rectified them.
Yeah, they knew the problem. Yes, yeah.
The smoke lane. How did you practice the smoke lane? What did you have to do?
Well, I think we probably had a target ship, and we'd sort of fly alongside it and try and obliterate it with smoke. Yeah, we had canisters on the side of the wing, on the side of the fuselage, and that the smoke would go out. Yeah.
Why were you taken off your small attachment from Gibraltar?
Pardon?
Why were you taken off at Gibraltar and didn't carry out the operation, did they say?
They must have decided they didn't want us. I can't think why, but perhaps somebody got some sense. I say somebody was looking after me, so I didn't go there. But we did a lot of anti-submarine work in the Med from Halfar, from Gibraltar. And we went to investigate Wellington had bombed a U-boat overnight, and we had to go out, and it had apparently got over to North Africa and was in the harbour there, and so they sent us to finish it off, and the crew were all on the shore, and they sent us to go and see that it didn't get back out again while they repaired it.
No. Did you destroy the? Did you destroy?
So it got destroyed. Yeah, I didn't personally do it, but it was destroyed.
And was there any other memories of that period while you were working in the Mediterranean? What you any other anti-submarine?
Well, I say we're just doing anti-submarine things and that, and still practicing dropping smoke bombs and things like that. Yeah, and doing navigation and that. But it was mainly doing a bit of anti-submarine work. Yeah.
And you were doing that for what, about a month or a month?
Yeah,
or so?
I think it would be a good month while they were at Salerno, and then they came back, and then we came back in convoy with them.
What was it like operating in the Mediterranean?
No different than anywhere else, really. Yeah. When we came back, we went. There were four carriers. What was the attacker, which is the one I was on, and then there was the battler and a few, I've forgotten now what they were, but there were four. And when we were coming back with the convoy, it was very, very windy, and we got recalled, and I think I was flying, and I had to land, and I could see the propeller coming out of the water, and it was so rough, and but I got down in one piece. And the other two carriers, their pilots weren't so lucky, and they wrecked them. And the captain sent a signal to them. Well, if you want any experience in landing aircraft in bad weather, just come to us. He was quite cock-a-hoop that we'd got down in one piece, and the other two had wrecked them. It was rough and windy. Yeah.
Is that quite difficult to land then in those conditions?
Oh, when the propeller's coming out of the water, you don't want to see it. You know it's going to be. It's just a matter of luck, really. And it also never happened to me that you get waved around about it again if it's thing. Because if you got the throttle and the deck's gone down. And that would put the propeller under the water, and then it comes up again. As you're landing, there's a tremendous force between that, and so the undercarriage will just go like that. And that. There's low right, you've got a wire on the hook, so you stay on the deck. So
the batsman must play an important role when you're landing on, then?
Well, yeah, he should be, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So what happened when you got back to the UK, then?
I think we were disbanded then.
Was there a reason why the squadron was disbanded?
No, only the Admiralty know that. I don't. But they reformed it as an A3-7 squadron because one of my friends who was on the the same course as me, was a great friend of mine, came from Cheshire, and he married. He met a girl out in Canada, and he went back and married, and he did quite well. But he joined the Barracudas. He was, in fact, senior pilot on the Barracuda squadron, and another of the friends on the same course. He was the CO of it, and I told him I was in 837 squadron. He said, "No, you weren't." I said, "Yes, I was." I said, "Before you," I said, "we had 837 squadron in Swordfish, and now you're in Barracudas." So that was quite interesting.
So that's the period then, is it, when you joined 768 Squadron?
That's when I went, yeah, I went from that to 768, yeah.
Can you give me an outline of the work that you were actually doing while you were 768 Squadron?
Oh, just as I say, yes, we were flying all sorts of aircraft for whatever aircraft people were coming to do their first deck landings on. And so that's where I flew Swordfish, Barracudas. The first time I'd flown a Barracuda was there. Yeah.
What did you think of the Barracuda?
Oh, easy to deck land. Easy to deck land, but I wouldn't like to have gone on an operational squadron with them.
Why was that?
Well, the early ones were rather dangerous. Again, a couple of people that were in my course went to the training one at East Haven, where they were flying Barracudas, and one or two people, well, two of them were killed with the Barracuda, and that.
Did it have a weakness with it?
Yes, they had dive bombing flaps, and apparently when you did a dive bombing attack, you had to put these flaps down, and then when you retracted them when you were coming, and the thing just used to go straight into the water. That's not a good thing to do.
But you didn't do any dive bombing with them, you were just doing dead landings?
No, I was just taking them onto carriers, landing them on carriers for people to do. Just all they were doing was circuits and bumps around the carrier, you know, the young ones.
Well, I notice here you also flew the Seafire there.
Yeah, I flew, well, say we did whatever they wanted with Seafires, Hellcats, Wildcats, Avengers.
Can you tell me a little bit about the Seafire, because obviously you'd explained a little bit about what happened at Salerno with them.
Yes, yeah.
But what was it like when you were flying it? How did you find it handled?
I found that the most easier, well, the visibility was poor, but the control was minimal, you know, just the slightest thing. It was just the slightest movement and they would respond to it, you know, and that. With the Barracuda, if you started to go, you had to put the throttle absolutely full. They were so heavy to keep it in the air. But with the Seafire, just the slightest touch, and you respond immediately to what you're doing. Great. And it told you when it was going to stall. It used to just do it, because I took a Seafire onto there which had been badly rigged. And when the batsman told me that I was going too fast, I was damn nearly stalling, because I know how it shakes. I say it shakes before it stalls, but that you've got to be quick and put a bit of throttle on. And this batsman said I was going too fast, so I took no damn notice of him and I landed it on. And I told them on board that the aircraft ought to be checked properly, because it was not responding, but they didn't take any notice. They don't. They run it up and the engine's going out. The poor people pilot had to go in. So I was watching when he came in, and the batsman said he was going too fast. So what did he do? He took a bit of throttle off and he stalled straight onto the round down. And he went up the deck, he broke the back, the wheels came off, the prop disappeared. Oh, it was hard luck on that poor pilot, yeah.
What about the Hellcats?
Hellcats are super. Yeah, they're very good visibility, and they sat down, and they were easy to deckland. Mm.
They were designed, I think, weren't they, as carrier aircraft, as opposed to a lot of the British ones that weren't really designed as carrier aircraft.
Well, the American aircraft were far better than any of the British ones we had, apart from the Seafire. But the Seafire is not really a sea aircraft, not an aircraft for flying in rough seas. But the Americans were very sturdy and excellent, wasn't that?
Were they a rugged aircraft?
Very rugged aircraft, yeah, and very comfortable. You had a nice big seat to sit on instead of being squashed. No, they were very good.
And what about the Wildcat? Because that was the other thing that you flew.
They had the Wildcat first, and then the Hellcat came, was improvement of the Wildcat, bigger and better.
Were they easy to fly, or did they have any vices, these big American?
No, the only thing was you had to wind the wheels up and you had to put them down again, yes. But apart from that, it was all right.
Were there any incidents that you remember? You obviously mentioned the Seafire incident, but any incidents while you were doing this deck landing that come to mind?
Yes, we used to anchor in Rothsay at the weekend. And the commander flying, there was only the commander flying and myself on board, pilots, and the commander flying came to me and said, we've just had a signal from the Argus. She wants the two Wildcats we've got on board. He said, have you ever flown one? I said, no, never. He said, neither have I. Have you got any instruction, any booklet or anything? No, no, I haven't got that. All right, then, he said. Well, he said, I'll go on first. And if on the Arcs only got four wives, remember, I'll go on first. And he wasn't flying all the time, he was just flying now and again, you see, whereas I was flying all the time. And anyway, he said, I'll go on. So he said, If I don't get down safely, he said, you go off to Abbotsinch ashore, you see. Well, my fiancée was out that way, so I packed my bag and put it in the back, and I watched him land. Anyway, he missed the wires and floated in the barriers. And that. So I just went and had a nice weekend. And I got back on the ship on Monday morning, and he said... He came to me, he said, the captain of the Argus was furious with me. He said, I didn't dare tell him I had never flown one before. He said, but he was even more furious when you took off and went away. So he had to say that he told me to go away if he didn't get down safely. So they never did get to aircraft. But that was the sort of thing you did. You just got in the aircraft and flew it. We didn't really have much time to...
How would you do that? Would you use pilot's notes, or would you use discussion? Or would you just literally just fly the aircraft?
You'd just fly the aircraft. You'd get in, you knew what instruments you wanted to see, you knew where the hook was, and that was it, you know.
I also noticed at that period, though, you did... a rocket-assisted takeoff.
Yes, that's right.
Could you explain that to me?
Again, that was for the Barracudas. Because we couldn't get off these escort carriers without those in no wind, because they would only do 17 knots, whereas the big carriers do 32 knots. There's a big difference. But so they decided to try this RATOG, rocket-assisted takeoff gear. And so they had them on the side of the fuselage, just a bit like the rocket propelled projectile which you used. Yeah. But you go halfway up the deck and you press a button and they both go off. You hoped. Sometimes only one went off, and there were a few accidents and that. But mine luckily stayed. Both went off and you go off with a big zoom.
What would happen if only one went off? Would it just...
Well, it would swerve you off one way. You'd have to be very quick to do it. So, yeah.
Mm. One of the other aircraft that you flew while you were doing these deck trials and landings and things was the Avenger.
The Avenger. I flew a lot in the Avenger. Did over 100 deck landings in the Avenger.
And what was that like as an aircraft? Because you went on to fly.
Absolutely
that, didn't you?
Fantastic. Yeah, when I joined another squadron, I had a choice to have a Barracuda squadron or an Avenger squadron, and so I definitely took the Avenger squadron.
How does the Avenger differ from the Barracuda then? What are its main characteristics?
Well, you had to use the throttle of tremendous, and you had an extra thing you had to pull out to get extra from 12 boost to 18 pounds pressure boost to get off the carrier, It weighed a ton, so if you were coming into land and it started to go a bit sink rather rapidly, you'd need a lot of as well as the Avenger. Again, you had to put a certain amount on, but nothing like the Barracuda. And the American ones were all comfortable. They were all had got big seats. They're quiet. They hadn't got a noisy Rolls-Royce engine in front of you. They had air-cooled engines. And honestly, on the Avenger, you used to have to open the window to see if the engine was still going. It was so quiet. It made a big difference. And the American ones were all like that. Were very good.
And where was everybody positioned in an Avenger?
Well, again, the pilot, and behind the pilot was the observer, and behind that was the air gunner, who had got a turret this time on the back and that. They did away with... They had another turret down below, but facing backwards, but they never installed that on the British ones. But the turret was up there, yeah, with a .5 gun.
And what about its capacity? What could it carry?
Oh, it could carry quite a lot, yes. It would carry, 2,000 pounds worth of bombs and that, fully loaded, and that. And we always used, on the escort carriers, we always used to have to be catapulted off and that with a load on, always. And that was good fun. It's just like being on the fairground, I always used to think. It was, you're whooshing around, but one minute you're stationary and the next minute you go, and you get a big thump in the back. And when these, I used to... when these carriers came in the Clyde, which they came fairly regularly, and quite often we used to go from one to the other, not just stay on the one that was, they used to take the turn. And this particular one, the fellow used far too much force on the catapult to do it, because you can break it. You've got to sit well back and be for the... But this one was this was far too fierce, because I'd done quite a lot, so I knew it was too fierce to them, and I told them, and that. So they said, right, we'll send the doctor up with you. So he sat in the back on the seat for the air gunner. He sat on the back, and we got blasted off. And when I got back and landed, he'd broken his ankle. He'd got off the thing with the force of the thing. So it proved my point. So they cut it down after that.
How did you feel with all this experience? Were you enjoying flying all these different types
of aircraft? Yeah, it was great, yeah. It was good. There's always something happening.
And what was your attitude to flying? Did you love flying, or were you slightly nervous with it all the time?
No, only when you're learning you're nervous after that. You take everything as it comes. Yes. The Barracuda, we used to get flag officer training, and his assistant used to come on board, and so I used to fly him on board. Now, the Barracuda, when it folded the wings, folds in two halves, and you have to check. There's a thing that there are no red flags showing on the halfway down the wing, you see, which means that it's not completely locked. But sometimes you could just see about that much, and so you were never sure. And I was taking this flag officer, captain, and another captain ashore to air from the carrier, and took off in this Barracuda. And they must have wondered what sort of pilot they'd got, because I'd got my 15 degrees of flap on the thing, and as soon as I hit the left the deck, I could feel it just did that straight away, because of the pressure. The wing, half the wing was undoing. The main part was all right, but half the wing, which comes over with the flap on, had come up even further. So I lost a lot of lift from that one, and so it just did that. So I had to fight it and get it back and pull the flap up quick, because I knew why it was doing it. So we were all right. We got ashore all right. But I had to land. I had to land at Prestwick. That's right. And use all the runway, because I couldn't use the flaps. So I had to land it without the flaps, which meant it was going to run a lot longer, further. So I landed there. But they never said anything to me. But I was supposed to wonder what they thought of the pilot that took me ashore.
Because I think when you finished there, you actually went to 853 Squadron, which was flying Avengers, wasn't it?
Yes, that's right. Yeah, I went there. Because, I had a choice, and that's where I went to 853.
And what were they doing?
Well, with them, what did we do? We was all the usual thing. We worked up in Ireland and that, and did the usual things, smoke laying and anti-submarine work, you know, and working with submarines occasionally. And they are difficult to see. So we did that.
Have there been any change in tactics from when you've been doing that with the other squadron a couple of years before?
Not an awful lot, no. But we used them as a dive bomber, the Avenger. Never had they did carry Americans torpedoes, but we never had any, and so we couldn't fit ours in it. So we all did all dive bombing, and so we practiced that quite a bit. But again, it was again with the anti-submarine work and that. But then we went up to the Orkneys, and we went to Russia then with one of the convoys, and came very rough then. There were quite a few MTVs in the thing going to Russia, and you couldn't see them. Even the destroyers quite often you couldn't see, because the waves were quite high and that. But we had about, we always used to have about three carriers going on the convoys. It was later on, you see, so there wasn't much trouble. But we didn't really lose a ship at all. We could go to Russia. We lost a couple of destroyers going into the inlet where the U-boats were waiting for them. But we weren't actually flying then because we were going down the river, we thought.
Would you fly? You wouldn't fly in bad weather, though, would you?
Oh, we did. Yes, I say when you can see the ship's propeller coming out of the water, you're in bad weather. No, yeah, the winds were quite high and that, I think it was the first convoy went to Russia. When we came back, we had a beam sea, which is very unusual. The wind was coming. Obviously, the wind had just changed, and it was coming this way, and the sea was coming this way. Now, normally, you're going up and down. So, but this time, when I came in, I cut the throttle, and one minute I was going up straight up the centre of the deck, and the next minute, the wave had caught the stern and swung it around, and so instead of going straight up the deck, I caught the wire. Luckily, the first one, so that was good. But I was going that way then across the deck, and actually the wheel went over the edge of the deck, but just below the deck there's an ammunition locker, and the wheel sat on that, and the wire had pulled me to a stop by then, but my observer and the air gunner were out like a flash, but I had to stay there, and they pulled the wire back and got a whole lot of people to pull the wing down and lift the wheel, and so they pulled me back on the deck. But I'm quite sure it wasn't my fault, because, as I say, one minute I was going straight up the deck, and the next minute I was going about 30 degrees, 45 degrees towards the side, and that wasn't me.
And what kind of chances would you have had if you'd had to ditch in the water in the
Arctic? Oh, very, very slim, four minutes. They were actually... they had wildcats as well, and they stowed them across there in front of the barrier, you know, while the others were landing on, and that they did it properly. But they were folding the wing there, and they required the handlers to pull the wing up in that. And one of them got the thing came back down and knocked one of the people helping to fold into the water. And he was picked up within 4 minutes, but he couldn't speak until the next day, they tell us, from the ship that picked him up. They brought him back the day after and put him back on board. But he was lucky. 4 minutes was in. He gave him a lot of rum and really hot showers and things. Yeah.
With some of the time that you were flying there, were the days shortened, obviously, by the time of year you were operating?
It was quite a long day, really. The first one was quite a long day all the time. Yeah, pretty well. Yeah, but the second one was a bit shorter, and we didn't fly at night. The one of the other carriers had Swordfish, which had better radar than we'd got for picking up submarine. They could pick up a submarine quite with this big thing between the wheels. They could pick up a submarine much better with their radar than we could. So they did all the night flying. But they on this particular one, they said they were doing all the work. I've got a book there, and I had to remind the fellow who wrote it that he wasn't doing all the work. That on all the days he said it was impossible for us to fly, impossible to get up, never mind land with the Avengers, he said, and that. And I looked up my logbook, and I found I was flying every time. They said it was impossible to fly, so. They were quite rugged aircraft, you know, so they were quite good.
What were you wearing for flying? Because obviously it's cold up there, isn't it? Did you wear extra
clothing? We didn't. The first convoy, we didn't. But then we had these immersion suits, and they were very good. So you could last a lot longer in the water with that, yeah.
What were they made of?
Oh, breathable material. I don't know. It was all new at that time. Yeah, the water couldn't get in. You know, the thing closed around your ankles and everywhere. You're all enclosed in this.
Were these the first immersion suits then?
Yes, that's right. That we had on that. Yeah. Well, the first we got, I don't know whether the other people had them before we did, but I don't know.